We're going to continue our study of Daniel. We're doing a Daniel series, and we're going to be in chapter 3 tonight. Let's recap what we did last week. If you weren't here, if you were here, to refresh your memory of what happened. We did Daniel 2 last Wednesday night, and that's when King Nebuchadnezzar had the dream. Nobody could interpret it. He called all of his wise men, astrologers. Nobody knew what it meant. But not only that, he gave him a great challenge. He says, not only don't you interpret my dream, I want you to tell me what I dreamed. That's a pretty hard challenge. Tell me what I dreamed, and then tell me what it means. Nobody could interpret it. None of his magicians, none of his sorcerers, none of his wise men. Nobody could interpret it but this one man, this Jewish boy, who was taken captive from Jerusalem into Babylon, Iraq, and says, you're the one that can do it. Daniel did it. He interpreted the dream. He told him what he dreamed, interpreted what it meant. Daniel found favor in the eyes of King Nebuchadnezzar, and he promoted Daniel into a higher place. And that's where we kind of left off last week. Now, this chapter is a very familiar story that we've heard all of our lives. It is a Sunday school story, but it's much more powerful than that. Chapter 3 talks about the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. As we also talked 2 weeks ago, the king changed their names. They were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king changed them and gave them Babylonian names to try to Babylonianize them, just like the world tries to worldize us. The world tries to change who we are. They try to make us conform because the system is that way. We must conform to a system. Well, we don't have to conform to a system. And we're going to read tonight how three men didn't conform to a system. And they stood their ground in their faith for God. And their God in this incident was much more than a story in the history of pages. This was a living, breathing faith they exercised. And this is, of course, the story of the fiery furnace. Chapter 3. Verse 1. We'll stop a little bit and make a few points throughout the chapter. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth was 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. In English terms, this statue was 90 feet tall, 9 foot wide. Scholars say that the way it was placed and the location it was, that anyone from 15 miles around in any direction could see this statue. 15 miles. That's like from here to almost Mooresville. So think about that. That's how far and how big this statue was. And most scholars agree that this was probably an image of King Nebuchadnezzar. It was laid over in gold as an image. He's the king. You know, he's got the power. And they erected this statue of him. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, he sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Pretty much anyone in federal government was invited to this. It was for all leadership all over the area to come be a part of the special dedication of this image. Then the princes... Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together. They were all now in one place, ready for this dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, and he said this, "It is commanded all people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet and the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer." These were stringed instruments. The dulcimer actually is said to be like a bagpipe type of instrument. All kinds of music. You will fall down. You will worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And I was studying this. I thought about what Melanie said a couple months ago. We went down to Disney and November to visit Christmas Thanksgiving. And, you know, in Magic Kingdom, the castle's all the hype. The castle is the thing there. It's the image. It's where all the shows are at. They have the fireworks over it. You know, Tinkerbell flies out of the little castle. The castle lights up in all these colors and different, and it's, you know, it's magical. It's absolutely awesome. I mean, you really find yourself caught up in all of that hoopla and glory. Now, it's one thing to be, oh, hey, Goofy's waving at me from the castle. Oh, I love the castle. That's okay. It's one thing if Goofy comes out and says, "Oh, gosh, y'all got to bow when the music comes on and worship this castle." That would be different. be a little bit different. But Melly made a good point saying, you know what? That castle can be an image or an object of idolatry. Just a castle. Just a man-built thing. But there is a lot of hype and emphasis that goes into that one thing. And in our lives, if we're not careful, we set up images ourselves. I know folks, and I like sports. Y'all know that. I like sports. I like watching football, baseball, basketball. I like watching games. But there are some people, man, there are Cowboy fans this week that if you talk to them, they will cuss you out and give you sign language. And I'm not talking about for the deaf. Because their team lost. Not Shirley, no. Shirley's sweet and humble and saved. But I'm just saying, there are people that get completely distraught and mad, and their day and their week and their, and they just, I mean, they get plumb flustered over a team losing. And we call it Cowboy Nation, the black and gold, the terrible towels, and people are waving them yellow towels like they're praising Jesus. I mean, my gosh, if we're not careful, we can set up images and put that above even our relationship with God. So here's this image. He says, when you hear the music, y'all bow down. Verse 6, those who falleth not down and worshipeth not the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Here's the ultimatum. If you don't bow down, you're going to be destroyed. Going to kill you. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet and the flute and the harp and the sackbut, the psaltery, all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, the languages, they fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. The reason so many people worship things that aren't truth is they don't have the truth in them. Now, when we're empty inside, it's kind of like a lonely 17-year-old girl who feels lonely, who feels ugly, who has no self-confidence. If they're not careful, they will let anything or accept anything into their little lives because it gives them hope and joy and satisfaction, but it's the wrong things because they're void and empty of what they really need to be satisfied. When we have Jesus and we know who we belong to, we know we are the property of the Almighty God. And His hand of blessing and His hand of favor and His anointing is on us and it follows us everywhere we go. And we can be satisfied with that alone, knowing I belong to the King. I know who I am. When people have an identity crisis and fail to recognize who they are, they let anything come in. So all these people had not had an experience of the true living God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. They didn't know this God. All they knew was paganism. All they knew was idealism. All they knew was what the king said for them to do. And the king said, do this, I'll do this, with no thought of what is really truth. Truth sometimes doesn't just come simply. Truth comes by a lot of searching. Verse 8. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They never lost that title of Jews. Notice that. Now they're Jews. They were Babylonized, given Babylonian names. They were working for the king. And make this note, too. From chapter 2 to chapter 3, several years have passed here between these two chapters. They had been in leadership for several years has passed. Daniel was promoted, so he wasn't just a regular citizen. Daniel was a man of authority when this was happening, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three Hebrew children also worked in the court of the king. So these were some of his people. But it says, these Jews, they're accusing them. These Jews, they spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree. You've told them to do something. That every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, all kinds of music, they will fall down and they will worship this golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. They were jealous of these Hebrew children and Daniel, these people were. They went tattletale on them. They didn't bow. There was jealousy there. They didn't like them to begin with. So now they're pointing them out at the king of what they failed to do. Verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the providences of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, these men, O king, have not regarded you. They serve not your gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. He's letting them know they're not doing what you told them to do. Go to the next slide. This is found, you ain't got to turn here. This is found in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 7. This is the reason they did not bow down. This is the reason they refused to bow down. They were following this covenant. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Next verse, Brandon. Thou shalt not make any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in the earth beneath or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. They were honoring their covenant that they believed in. How many of us truly honor what we believe in, or we only believe in it when it's easy? Do we believe in it when it's hard? When the pressure is applied, is our faith just something we say we have or just something that we really do have? Because faith is not just coming to church and giving of our offerings and praising Him on Sunday morning. Faith is when the storm arises, when persecution comes, when circumstances present themselves in such a way that you have no escape. Do you revert back to, oh well, it's the devil, or oh well, I don't know how it's going to work, or oh well, I give up. Because when we pray, it don't work out, so I give up. When I give my offerings, nothing changes, I give up. I come to church, nothing's moved, I give up. These three Hebrew children were exercising their faith that they believed in. They were standing on what they were taught. How powerful this is for us to stand on what we actually believe in and not compromise because of persecution or even death. Even if it endangers our lives to say, deny God or perish. Where would our faith be? They were honoring their covenant right here. Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke to them and said, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my gods, not worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if it be ready that at what time you hear the sound again of the cornet and the flute and the harp and the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, all kinds of music, when you hear it, if you will fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, everything's cool. As the young folks says, everything's chill. We're good. But if it be you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? He's making a declaration. He's giving him a chance. I'm going to give you one more chance. When you hear the music, maybe it's a misunderstanding. Maybe you didn't understand the process. Maybe you missed the memo. Maybe the email failed to get to you. Here's the deal. When you hear the music, if you fall, everything's forgotten. We'll forget this incident. But if you don't, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. I don't even have to think about it. I'm not changing my mind because I know what I believe in. People that don't know what they believe in fall for anything. But when you know what you believe in, a pit bull can't tear it away from you. Because I've got what I know that I've got. And I know that it's truth. I wasn't there when they scourged Jesus. I wasn't there when they put him on a whipping post and gave him 39 stripes. I wasn't there to help carry his cross. I wasn't there to see him on Mount Golgotha bleeding for my sins. I wasn't there. But I know it happened. And I know he lives inside of me. because I don't serve God as a graven image. The living God takes abode inside of me. I don't have to go to a certain location and idolize an object. That location moved inside of me. I am the tabernacle of the Most High. I am the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of me. On the day of Pentecost, in that upper room experience, when the Holy Spirit poured in that room and His glory filled that room, for the first time in the history of humanity, the Spirit of God Himself did not just come upon man, but it came inside of man. It dwelled inside of them. It got a hold of their inwards, their hearts and their thoughts and their conscience, and it changed their lives. And now we have that same Holy Spirit that is available to get inside of us. These three Hebrew children says, King, we don't have to even think about it. We know who we serve. We're not going to change our minds. Do with you what we want to do with us. We know what we have to do. If it be so, verse 17, our God, who we serve, is able. He may not do it the way I want to do it, but I know He is able to deliver me from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O King. Think about that. This arrogant, pompous, paganistic king. You can't talk to me that way. Deliver me out. We'll see. Yeah. Think about the boldness that took. You know why they were bold? They weren't bold to be brats. They weren't bold because they were being rebellious against the law of the land, because I'm a total believer, and so is the Word of God teaches, that we obey the laws of the land and we obey the leadership that's in place unless it conflicts with the covenant of God. And so here they stand, and they weren't being rebellious. What boldness it must have took to tell the king who had their life in his hands to say, oh well, we're not changing. Do what you want. And not only is God, not only can God deliver me, but He will deliver me out of your hand. Because either way, I win. If I'm safe in the furnace, I'm out of your hand. If I go to heaven, I'm out of your hand. Either way, you don't have power over me. That's what He was saying. What fortitude that took. How many of us could be that bold? See, we can't be that bold unless we have it for ourselves. I say many times, we can't go on grandma's religion. We can't go on mom and dad's religion. All three of my kids, I've been a pastor that most of their whole lives. Ashley was born into the ministry. And then Jamie and Christian were 5 and 6, 7 years old when I started the ministry. They've been raised as preacher kids. And I know firsthand, because their daddy's a preacher don't mean they saved. Because I'm a preacher don't mean they got to do everything right and that God loves them any more than He loves anybody else. Or that, you know, they're automatically got the gold ticket to heaven because Pastor James. I hope I still got my gold ticket, church. I struggle, you know what I'm saying? I mean, much less the kids. I mean, let's be honest. And so I understand that you've got to have it for yourself. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had it for themselves. It was more than just saying, oh, yeah, my great pappy told me about Moses and the great Red Sea cross and how God delivered them out of the 10 plagues. I heard that story. It was more than them hearing that story. It was them living that life. That story became alive in them. They didn't just believe that God did it back then. They believed God could do it right now. He's not changed. And He still hasn't changed. I know our world's changed. I don't understand. I mean, you know you're getting old. They say you know you've crossed the old age line when you no longer understand the generation before you. And I was pretty hip to a few years ago. And I'm like, I don't have a clue what's going on and why they look the way they do and why they're singing the songs they're singing, and I just don't get it. And this is entertainment. They're getting paid millions of dollars for. I'm an old school by heart, even though I'm young. This is going to surprise some of y'all. Me and Melanie both kind of have an old school kind of heart. I like Frank Sinatra music. I love Frank Sinatra. That's for my parents' time. Louis Armstrong. It's a wonderful world. Oh, I love that. You know, I'm an old school. I couldn't sleep last night because somebody kept stomping upstairs. But anyway, I got woke up, went in the living room, turned on TV, found an old black and white movie, an old comedy, old black and white movie from like the 40s. And it was so entertaining. It was so funny. It was just so I don't know. I'm an old school by heart. So I look at the generation before me, and I don't understand them. I don't get it. I don't understand all the terminology, or I don't understand it. But no matter what this generation or the one to follow, or the one to follow that, whatever it presents itself, the one constant that we have in every generation is God. And God changes not. He is the same yesterday. He's the same today. He is the same tomorrow. You know what that tells me? He's the same for the baby boomers. He's the same for Generation X. And he's the same, praise, bless their little hearts, for the millennial generation. He is the same God for every generation. And guess what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, church, they were thousands of years removed from Moses. But you know what? The same God was there. The same God that told Moses, hold up your staff and see the salvation of the Lord, was the same God that told Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, stand your ground, children, for I am with you. I go before you, and I will make a way. The same voice that thundered thousands of years earlier was thundering now, and it thundered in Acts chapter 2, and it thunders today in 2,000 plus. It's still thundering. God's not changed. They're standing their ground. He's going to deliver you out of our hand. Verse 18. I already read that, hadn't I? Verse 18. If it be known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, we will not worship your golden image, which thou hast set up. We're not going to do it. I'll let you know now. Here's our answer. We're not going to do it. Look at the next slide. Here they were saying, we're leaving the outcome to God. Think about how powerful that is. We're not going to serve your gods. We're going to leave the outcome to my God. Let's see what he does about it. And you know what? If he takes us home, we're out of your hand. It'll be a pretty quick death. If he does it, and he delivers us, he sets us free, then all this providence and all this nation will see there is a living true God that surpasses your gods. He answered them, we're not going to do it. We're leaving the outcome to God. Verse 19, boy, that made him mad. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He had lost his marbles, church. Here, think about this. Here was a man of authority, the king, the head dude. And now he's gone crazy. He is so mad that these three Hebrew children refused to bow. So he's going to try to get them in his way. He spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace seven times more than it was to be heated. This is just an expression of cranking it up. But you know what? If he'd really been smart, what he would have done? He'd have cranked it down. Wouldn't a slower death be more tormenting than a quick death? Because we read here in a minute, when the guards opened the door, just by being outside, they were consumed. So if he really wanted to be vengeful, but see, his mind, was he was so full of himself, he lost all reasoning. And that's what happens to us. When we lose focus of God and the truth, then we open ourselves to things that aren't even reasoning anymore. And we lose ourselves. If he'd really wanted to torment them, he would have cranked it down and made it hotter, longer to torment them. He commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach. So he's going to tie them up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. From what studies show, this was a kind of a bottle-shaped glass creation, this oven, made out of fire-resistant rock of some sort. It had an opening in the front, was not shielded by any door or window. It was visible to the outside, where they could see from the outside, and they would throw these people inside this opening and then stoke the fire, of course, to make it hot. So they're in this furnace. And verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, their garments. They were cast in the midst. He took them just like they were and threw them in, just like they were dressed. He said, get off, you know, come here. Threw them in just like they were. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and he rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said, "Yes, king, true, O king." He answered and says, "Lo, I see four men loose. They were bound, but now they're loose." Isn't it amazing how the fire burned off their bonds, but didn't burn them? It burned off what had them captive, but it didn't burn them. That's what God does. That's what Jesus says. "I came to set the captive free, to loose the bounds of them that are oppressed, to open up the prison door." That's what he came to do. And that's what he did for us. He sets us free. He takes what binds us, whether it's our sin or whether it's our discouragement or our fear or whatever it is that we're battling. He can take those binds and loose them at any time and set us free. But we must trust that he can and believe that he can. So now they're walking around loose. Binds are broken. He says, "I see them loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." There was a fourth appearance of someone inside that fire with them, and the king recognized it as some type of deity. There's some kind of deity. He didn't know maybe it was Jesus that we know, or, you know, the same God that they serve, but he recognized it as a deity, not human, that was in there with them. In the middle of the fire, he was there. See, the fire didn't go away. The fire didn't stop. The fire wasn't extinguished. It's just that God was with them in the fire. And in the fire, they did not get hurt. God can take us through the fire and us not get burned. God can take us through the storm and us not get consumed. God can take us through the giant and us not be slayed. Doesn't mean it's all removed. It means God's in the middle of it with us. And if I know that, I'm good. If I know God's just there, it's okay, God. Take my hand. If I just know you're there, just like the beautiful poem Footprints, as he's carrying them, they were still going the same path, going through all the stuff, but God was carrying them. God carries us sometimes. Next scripture. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spake, and he said, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you servants of the Most High God," his tune has changed because he has seen for his own self what has happened, "come forth and hither." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes and the governors, the captains, the counselors gathered together, saw these men. Now look at what it says, upon whose bodies the fire had no power. The fire had no power. The fire had no power. In other words, what the harm and the evil the king was trying to throw upon the Hebrew children had no power over the hand of God. The hand of God was stronger. It was mightier. And all of this stemmed because these three Hebrew children, these three captives, these three prisoners of war who were taken captive in early 600 BC away from their homes and taken to Iraq and put into the king's service and tried to be changed to that nation, these three Hebrew children, because they said, "We refuse to bow," God showed up and showed out in a mighty powerful way. I truly believe, church, sometimes that we are on the brink of a breakthrough in our lives, a breakthrough, a manifestation of some sort, but we allow the devil to discourage us and to pull us away just before we're about to get it. Because faith cannot be circumstantial. Faith cannot be based on how we feel, what we see, what we hear, or what we're going through. We either believe God or we don't believe God. We trust God in the mountains. We trust God in the valleys. We trust God in the good, and we trust God in the bad. And through it all, we give him praise. I remember Lejeune Vance used to always quote this verse, and I can't quote it exactly, but I remember, I think it's out of Psalms. Psalms or Proverbs. Psalms, I believe. he'd be going through so much sickness and pain, and he'd always, you know, talk about that. He'd use that verse, says, I want to praise God in the land of the living. Remember him saying all the time, the land, I want to praise him in the land of the living. You know what Vance was saying? I'm going to praise him. I do have pain. I got an IV here, IV here, IV here. I'm going to praise him. If I can't hardly breathe, I'm going to praise him. If I can't hardly walk, I'm going to praise him. If I got to carry my oxygen tank, I'm going to praise him. When I'm discouraged, I'm going to praise him. When I can't see the breakthrough, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to give him praise as long as there's breath in my body. Just like that song we sing, as long as I have breath, I will praise the Lord. As long as I have breath, we were created and called to praise the Lord, and not just when everything's okay. These three Hebrew children had a decision to make. Do I bow and save my life, or do I trust God and let him save my life? They knew what they believed, and that's the key. We got to know what we believe. Go to the next. What verse? 27? They were, are we on 27? I'm sorry. Okay. Let me read 27 again. You can keep it right there, Brandon. The princes and the governors, the captains, being gathered together, saw these men whose bodies fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, nor were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. This was a supernatural manifestation of God's glory. Their clothes wasn't even singed. They didn't even smell like smoke. There was no effect from the penalty they were charged. There was not even an effect of it. They didn't even touch them. And then we read what Isaiah says here in 43:2 to go along with this verse. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. This is a prophecy Isaiah was given to Israel. No matter what you go through, I'm with you. No matter what you're facing, I'm with you. No matter how hopeless it seems, I'm with you. We all have things that seem hopeless. We all have things we see no answer for. But trust this, God is with us through the water. He's with us through the fire. He's with us in our darkest times. He's with us through our joyful times. He's with us when we're grieving, and he's with us when we're laughing. He's with us on the good days, and he's with us on the bad days. God is with us, and nothing is going to destroy the seed of God. Just because our flesh passes away, passes on, crosses over, translates there, doesn't mean death had power over us. As a saint, as a child of the living God, death actually has no power over us whatsoever. We simply just go on to the next realm. Next verse, Brandon. 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel, delivered his servants that trusted in him. And look at what it says, has changed the king's word. This manifestation was so powerful, it was going to change the king's declaration. Now, back in this time period, when a king said something, it was done. It was written. Just like we had to throw Daniel a few more weeks, as he threw Daniel in the lion's den, remember what he says? He says, I've signed it. I can't change my word. It is what it is, Daniel, but I pray God be with you. His word was so powerful, the king's going to change his word. And yielded their bodies that they might not serve or worship any god except their own. What a change, right? Before, worship mine or die. Now, blessed be your God. You don't have to worship my God anymore. It doesn't mean King Nebuchadnezzar converted. Doesn't mean that he made their God his God. It just simply means he recognized that their God had power and gave them that and says, you worship your God, for I've seen. I don't understand it all, but your God's done something here, and it's real. It's real. I can't explain it. Don't know who he is. Don't know exactly who you're serving, but I can recognize this. He's real, and it really happened. Last, or two more verses, 29. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, language which speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they shall be cut in pieces, their houses made a dunghill, because there is no other God, no other God that can deliver after this sort. This paganistic king who didn't know who the real God was, who worshiped idols, actually said, there's no God that can do anything like this God can. See, God had a purpose. You know, we've been talking about how God sometimes repositions us to position us. And sometimes God changes our circumstances to change us. Daniel and these three Hebrew children were taken captive as prisoners of war from their home to Babylon. But they're here for a reason, and they're here for a purpose. And their presence in this country is going to transform and change a nation of what they see in this living God. God had a plan. I mean, being a prisoner of war is not much of a plan in our eyes. Oh, yeah, God, sure you're with me. Here I am. You know, really, I'm captive, home, gone from my country. Why am I here in a foreign, paganistic land? You gave me a covenant to follow, and I can't even carry out that covenant, really, because I'm in a paganistic nation. This shows us we can carry out our covenant. We can stand. No matter what paganism rises, we can stand in this generation as well. Last verse here. The king then promoted for the second time. Remember chapter 2, they got promoted, now they're promoted again. The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now they went from almost being killed to now being promoted. Because that's how God works. That's how my God rolls. Next slide. Here's the points we can learn from this tonight. Number one, from this story, how does it apply? This happened, you know, 2,600 years ago. So how does it apply to me today? Number one, it teaches us to stand firm in our faith. Trust God even in the face of adversity. Stand. God never said everything would be rosy. Even though we love going to Disney World, that's not the real world. That's why it's called the Magic Kingdom. It's not reality. So we're going to have adversities. This teaches us to stand on our faith. See, faith is much more than shouting hallelujah in church. Faith is when the tire meets the road and real life happens. Do I have enough inside of me to stand and say, God, yes, I trust you. Even though I'm going through a living hell right now in my life, God, I trust you more than that hell I'm going through. Number two. Second point we learn from this, no political influence or cultural shift should shake our faith. No political influence, no cultural shift should shake our faith. You either believe it or you don't, because God's over it all. I know it's hard to be, especially when you're young. We were all young. We all grew up as teenagers. You know, all of us at one time were 16 and going through all this stuff. And I know it's hard to be a Christian and be open about that because it seems like nobody else is. You seem so alone. But you're not alone because you have God. Stand in a generation that says, you know, whatever, live like you want to live, do what you want to do. There are no rules. There is a God that's still very much alive. And no matter what political winds come, no matter what cultural shift arises, no matter how the world perceives goodness and badness and evil and whatever. I mean, we know how much the world has changed in 50 years. How the world has such a different landscape, and how social media and electronics and how technology has completely transformed our world. Completely. But through all of that, see, church, I want people of this generation, I said a while ago, I want them to taste what I tasted in the 80s when the Holy Spirit transformed my life. I want this generation to feel that effects of God, not in a theatrical sense, not in a sense of entertainment, but in a sense of manifestation, that the same Holy Ghost that so gets on your bones that you can't sit still, that same holy fire is still burning in 2017, and the gates of hell can't ever prevail against that.
For we serve the same God as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we can tell the world and the devil, no matter what happens, I will be out of your hand. For the hand of God is on me. It's a generation, same God. Third point I want to make. God's power. We learn this, that God's power is greater than man's. We seem to be so threatened sometimes by what humanity says or what the world sets as precedents. But God's power is greater. God's power is greater for your bodies, for your souls, for your minds, for your homes. God's power. And God can change things. I say this, I've seen it in my own life. God can change things and turn things around in an instant and a moment. What we work for all of our lives, God can do in the blink of an eye and the snap of a finger. God can show up and rearrange everything. God can provide blessing and favor where man tries to shut it out. I look back at my life and I've been so blessed. I have been so blessed of the things God has blessed me with and the positions He's put me in throughout my life. I mean, I just so blessed. So blessed of who He sent me for my wife and so blessed to my family, and so blessed. I'm just so blessed. And I take that not for granted, because it has nothing to do with me, because I'm not good, but my God is. And I am so thankful for that. Sometimes God repositions us to position us. And in this, we see how three Hebrew children that were taken captive from their homeland is now being promoted in a foreign paganistic society, and how their God now is being seen, and how their God is getting the glory. And you don't think some of these people noticed what happened? You don't think they told that when they went home to their wives for dinner and had their cornbread and green beans? Hey, honey, guess what? Guess what happened just a while ago? You ain't gonna believe this. Are you ready? Sit down. You been drinking again? No. Look, I was there. Here's what happened. They threw these three boys in this fire. A fourth man's from somewhere popped in there, and they walked out. You can't tell they were in there. I promise this happened. I love what the king said back in that one verse. Who is your God who can deliver you? Well, he knows now who it is. He may not know him by name, but he sure knows there is a God who can do what the three children said he could do. You stay in your faith. You hang on. You trust God. Don't let the world shape you. Let the Holy Spirit shape you. The Bible says in Romans, don't be transformed and conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the way our mind's renewed is we get off social media so much, right? We get off all the junk that's always clouding our minds. And I'm so amazed how, especially, you know, we all do this, but for young people, they love putting quotes up, different quotes from rappers or athletes or, musicians, whatever. They put these great quotes up. We get the greatest quotes out of the Word of God. Greatest quotes out of the Word of God. So many beautiful quotes that Jesus himself spoke into the lives. So many quotes that's what we live by. We live by his word. We live by what he said. That's what changes our lives. You know, I like watching sports and I like music and all that. But you know what? If Aaron Rodgers comes out and says, that's not going to influence me what he says. Careless what he says. It's not going to influence me what a Hollywood star comes out and says. Who cares what they say? God, I want to hear what you got to say. Because you're the voice, the only voice that counts. What if the three big children have felt that way? Well, everybody else is bowing down, boys. I guess we better, they're saying we ought to do it. I guess we ought to do it. Man, they lived what they believed. And that comes from an inward conviction of knowing. You know. That's my message tonight in the series of Daniel. Any comments? You got to go, don't you, Courtney? Oh. Mm.